We hope for a refuah shlema for Tehila Rachel.
Bas.
Chava Gittel. Mir Hashem, she should have a refuah shlema. We are in the midst of trying to figure out the head scratcher of a Rashi. And the truth is, I only have one of the sources that's going to help us. Because I have one Gemara, but Baruch Hashem, you guys are using all the other ones. So let me find another one quickly. Let me get, I think I have another big one here. Yeah, here we go. Believe it or not, we still have the words that we need. So, here is someone's Chasen Shas. Oh no, this was presented by Mr. and Mrs. Morris Birnbaum in honor of the wedding of Rabbi and Mrs. Herschel Greenbaum. Anyone? June 9th, which is my anniversary, 1953.
Okay, a little before.
You were born?
Wasn't even born.
No. All right, so then we're on the same page.
Okay.
Yeah, you feel like that a lot.
Why don't we?
This is actually the wrong one.
What? We're going to start with Kuf Mem Aleph. Kuf Mem Aleph.
I'm going to open right to that page.
You
were flipping between there and another place, remember?
Yeah.
I forgot what the other page was, but it opened to one page. Yeah. Right? So that's good.
Is it time to go from the cross to A?
On one
way?
No. Oh, Steinsaltz? Those are difficult to use.
It has the Gemara, that's all I need.
All right, Kuf Mem Aleph. If you remember, I'm going to try to do this without the board, because I don't think it really helped so much. I can just describe what we're talking about. In fact, it gets a little complicated with the board, because the board is only according to certain opinions about what it looks like. So that actually will confuse us a little bit more. So we are on, I believe it's Kuf Mem Aleph, right? 141, I'm just recalling from memory here. 141... That's 140. Yeah, there we go. Hakasha Agabe Amita. Okay. We talked predominantly about primarily 141A, probably 2, I had to guess. The middle of the page, whatever has the middle of the page. So we've been talking primarily about two Gemaras, Kuf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, and I believe it's Kuf Chav Gimel Amud Beis. Now that's 123B. But there is a third Gemara in Mem Gimel, which we're not getting into right now. But we talked about it. We mentioned it. If it was the case of transporting a dead body from bed to bed, if you recall that. That's also a Tiltum and a Tzad, which is an important third Gemara in order to clarify what is Tiltum and a Tzad. I'm not sure if we're going to get there. Definitely not tonight, because I haven't prepared it. But also because we're really focusing on Rashi. If you remember last week, we noted a seemingly contradictory Rashi on Kuf Mem Aleph and Kuf Chav Gimel Amud Beis. So let's first look at Kuf Mem Aleph. Kuf Mem Aleph, if you remember, this is the Mishnah that I talked about, the straw on the bed. Hakash Agabe Amita. Lo yinanenu biyado, elim nanenu bigufo. You shouldn't push it with your hands. You can push it instead with your body. Okay, and then it talked about other things we don't have to get into. And then we said in the Gemara, which is presumably brought because of our Mishnah, Amar of Nachman, Hai Pugla Milamala Lamata Shari, when you have a, and remember what the Pugla was?
Radish.
A radish, correct, a radish. When it's Milamala Lamata Shari, you could have told me Milamala Lamata is either one, I would have believed you. I don't know how radishes grow. But what this means is the bulbous part, the heavier part, the bigger part is on the top, and this narrow part is inside the ground. So if you pull it out like that, so then Shari. Now this, by the way, does not mean the radish was growing in the ground. That would be obvious, absolutely usser, right? You can't detach a living, a growing thing from its source of nutrients. However, because you placed it there before Shabbos with the intention, or at least without the intention of keeping there on Shabbos, if not also with the intention to take it out on Shabbos, so says Rav Nachman, you're allowed to remove it. However, lamata milamata lamala aser. If, however, the wider part, the bulbous part, is underneath, and the narrow part is sticking up out of the ground, so that you're not allowed to pull out of the ground. Why not? Presumably, come to Rav Nachman.
You're just loving the earth.
Good. You're moving the dirt.
But if you intended to do it, does it matter what happens? If it was your intention before Shabbat.
To do what?
To pull it out.
Oh, so that's an interesting question. I mean, typically, it's interesting because if you did it in the right way, I think you probably could be right. You could be right that the dirt is considered to be prepared. I think here we're not talking about that. You know, I think technically you could say, I'm using this dirt on Shabbos. I don't know, because it's connected to the rest of dirt, maybe it's sort of, you know, it's by definition not usable. If you had prepared dirt from before Shabbos, I think you could use it. I don't know. I don't see why not if you declared it. But you'd have to actively, purposefully, consciously do that. You can't just assume that. Yeah, they use it for like insulation or maybe to ripen it. That's how Rashi talks about it. I don't know how you would call it. Ripening is probably decaying. I don't know. You might be right. I don't know. But it's not growing because it's getting nutrients. It's growing just because of, like, it's being aired out or it's being, you know, it's being...
It's being preserved.
It's evolving. It's not growing in terms of getting nutrients from the ground. Things are allowed to grow on Shabbos. You're allowed to... You can't pick them if they are... If you are going to remove it from its growing
medium,
yeah, it's apparatus that's helping it grow. Here, even if you take it out, whatever, you know, whatever issue it's going through, it's still going to be going through that.
Well, if you've already taken it out of the ground, you've detached it from its roots, and then if you're just putting it back in the ground to preserve it, then it's just preserving it, it's preventing it from dehydrating.
Right.
Once you've taken it out of the ground, it's going to shrink. You know, it's going to, like, dehydrate, so it'll dry out.
Right.
Dry out. So this way you're just keeping it still, like, moist and plump.
Yeah, it's like an insulation thing. Earlier, on the other Gemara, it talks about the fig, which is unripe. So you put it in the ground. This one is not unripe yet. This one is just for insulation purposes. So it doesn't decay.
In the supermarket, you can buy, what are they?
Bunches of radishes. And
they're not radishes. It's the fine
fennel?
No.
It's a vegetable?
It grows from vegetables.
It grows from vegetables?
Yeah. And you...
I don't know.
And they have it, some of the things have it in a plastic container.
You mean like basil? Like herbs already? Basil?
Oh, like living lettuce. Sometimes you can buy living lettuce.
Not lettuce. It's but like little strips of hyacinth.
Oh,
yeah, okay. Your point is that considered to be its growth?
Yeah.
Medium?
Right. So some of them, some of them is stored by a container.
Yeah.
They have it on a moist
container. And the water is helping it grow.
Yeah,
that seems like the question of removing flowers from water. This is an interesting question. That could be a problem. Yeah. Oh, you use it? What do you mean use it? You mean move it? You can't take it out. Yeah.
You have to take it out before Shabbos. You mean
right. Yeah, so that's a different question. Here, I don't think we're using the ground in order to help it grow. We're using the ground to help it not decay, which I guess is different. Either way, so Rashi, in explaining this, says the reason why it's not a problem is because it's tiltul min hatzad, and... Rashi is, I don't know what Gemara you have yet. Rashi on the right, on the inside of the page. Right, if you go down a few lines, maybe six lines. So the first word of the line is Nimshach Achareha. So Mutar Lefi Shahaguma Rechava Milamala. Because the guma, the divot, the hole in which the radish is found, is wide on top. Ve'en Mezizin HaKarka. and it does not move the ground, kishehu shomta. When you take it out of the ground, it doesn't move the ground. It doesn't move the dirt around it when the wider part is on top. However, if it's the other way around, so then, as we said before, it's going to, you're going to take it, im cholza milamata lamala, right, shachtachtona, natun lamala, virosh al yona. So then, shehu av natun lamata, right, that the thicker part, the wider part is on, underneath, v'hu shomta misofal rosha, and you're taking from the end, meaning from the narrow part, up to the head, the thicker part. So then when you pick it up, asur lefi shaguma kitzara milamala, because the divot is smaller on the top, uchshu cholza, and when he removes it, meziz hafar mitatzalo, you're going to move the dirt. You're going to move the stuff that's on top, basically on top of the thicker part, umitatzalo, v'af agav tiltzum inatzadhu, and even though it's tiltzum inatzad, Shmei Tiltul Vasser. According to Rav Nachman, this is within Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman believes that Tiltul Minatzad is Shmei Tiltul, and therefore it's going to be Asr. However, when Rashi explains that, it seems like he's explaining that Tiltul Minatzad includes a situation where you're picking up a vegetable with dirt on top of it, and it's going to move the dirt around. Okay, that's what it sounds like Rashi is explaining. And then the Gemara goes through, what about the bed case that we had in our Mishnah. Did we say that yet? Yeah, we do say that. So that's Rav Adbar Abba says from Rav Chanina, that Tanina, that it's written in the Mishnah, that it is opposed to, it's against Rav Nachman. Okay. Shmamina, fine. So that's Rashi on Kuf Mem Aleph, which says that it is considered tiltul min hatzad to move the dirt as you pick the radish up. Okay, let's move backwards to Kuf Chav Gimel Amud Beis. I think it's Kuf Chav Gimel Amud Beis. Let me just check. Might be Amud Aleph. No, it's not. It's Kuf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. Let me see. Yeah, Kuf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph at the bottom, towards the bottom. Oh, no, in the middle. Whatever. 123A2, I assume, for the art scrollers. 123A2. So there is a two dots in the middle, also known as a colon, right? 123A2. Tanu Rabbanan, the last words in the line are Tuf Resh. Tuf Tanu Rabbanan. See in the middle? Kuf Chav Gimel. You look for two dots in the middle. There's a line which is probably middle of the page. It's like maybe 2/5 the way down. Okay, the first word on the line is Alayhu, then there's a colon, and then it's Ves Hakush, Ves Hakarkar, Vechule, colon, Tanu Rabbanan. The rabbis learn. Paga Shetamna Betevin Vecharar Shetamna Begachalim, which is the fig that was insulated again in straw. And the bread, which was insulated in coals, im megula miktsasa mutter latatala vim lav as latatala. If some of it is exposed, it being the fig or the bread, so that if some is exposed, so then you're allowed to take it. If, however, it's not exposed at all, so then it's usser. Rashi says. A little bit down, if I remember. Yeah. Im Megula Miktsasa, I don't know if people can find it. It's a few lines down, but in the Rashi. Sheyachol lo'ochza b'makom ha-megula. You are able to grab hold of the exposed part, either of the fig or of the bread. Da'afilu tiltul min hatzad leka. Afilu tiltul min hatzad leka. There's not even tiltul min hatzad. Why? She'ein tzarech lahagbiha hateven. Because you don't have to pick up the teven. The implication there is that when it comes to the other case, where it's completely covered, you would have to pick up the teven, which is why it might be a problem. Ella, rather, magbiha makom hamegula, that teven nishmat benofel. Rather, pick up the exposed part, and the straw What's going to happen to the straw? It's going to be dislodged and fall off. So these are the two Rashis that we talked about. Really nothing about the opinions per se, but just in terms of how Rashi defines what is considered tiltul min hatzad. On the one hand, we had Kuf Mem Aleph 141a, which said that when you pick up the radish and the dirt falls over to the side, according to Rav Nachman, that's Usser. For us, it wouldn't be because it's tiltul min hatzad. Rashi says, why is it Usser? Because it's tiltul min hatzad. It's indirectly moving the dirt, which is on top of the radish. Now let me ask you, was that a case of exposed or not exposed? Was the radish exposed from
yeah,
beneath the ground?
The part that you're
pulling. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
You are allowed to remove it.
The radish, if it was exposed, no?
Correct, at the very least.
Right. So
according to Rashi, that's a case of exposure, and yet it's tiltul min hatzad. And here he's saying that we have a fig which looks very similar to a radish. And you are pulling it out of the ground, and it's okay because it's not really, you're not really moving the straw. So that's our question. Why does Rashi in one place say that it's a problem to indirectly move dirt, which is on top of the radish? Sorry, I think I might use the word problem. It's not a problem. Why would Rashi define the dirt that's on top of the radish as tiltul min hatzad? Whereas by the fig, he defines it not as tiltul min hatzad when you're moving the straw, which is on top of the fig. Does anyone want to take a crack at this? Why, in one case, does Rashi say that? In one case, Rashi says the other. Why?
Because it grows in dirt, but it doesn't grow in straw.
We're not growing. So, I mean, if anything, it's the opposite, because Rashi says, I believe, on Pagat, Rashi says that you're putting it in the straw in order for it to ripen. There's no such thing, when it came to the radish, there's no such thing. The fig is being ripened. So, if anything, it would be more problematic, according to that logic, to take the fig out. Now, it's not a problem in either direction, in either case, but... I've never seen such a thing, but if you want to make a case, I'd listen. Both straw and dirt are considered muktza, default or muktza. Now, you can make ukimtas. Maybe. You can make ukimtas about this. You know what an ukimta is? An ukimta is a context alternative, meaning you add something to the case which will define one but not the other. So, for instance, you could claim, and some do claim, that the... So, for instance, I think we proposed this last week, but I saw it quoted from the Bala Maor. Bala Maor explains that you could make Rashi work. You could. If it wasn't for Rashi's words, he'd be great. How could you explain them? Because maybe in the case of the radish, why did we say it's okay? When it is okay, because if it's the wide side upwards, you're picking it up and you're not moving the dirt at all, at least any significant way. The dirt is staying where it is. You didn't move any of the dirt.
If it's dry,
Rashi says you don't have that. The Baal Maor says, oh yeah, that's the same in this Gemara. Well, what? It didn't say that. So the Baal Maor explains it. That's called new kimta. We explain the case must be a situation where everything else is the same. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense. Right? That's why the Rishonim are struggling with this Gemara. This, both of them, I mean, depends which one you want to change. But the point is that he explains that the fig that we're talking about, or the bread that we're talking about, yes, it's tmana. It is insulated, but not fully. It's got straw on the sides of it. But when you pick up the thing, it's not moving any straw. That's how the Baal Maor explains it. Now, Rashi can't say that, because Rashi's words were specifically, nishmat v'nofel. You are removing it, you're picking up the dirt, or you're picking up the straw with it, and then it falls down. So then, we can't use that answer. It works very well for the Baal Maor, but how do we understand it for Rashi? So there are a few different attempts at trying to explain Rashi. If you remember, I believe we wanted to make the claim. If you look closely at Rashi again, So there are different Rashis. We're going to look at a couple now. But the one we quoted before is if you look at the two dots after the two dots we were looking at. So then it's right above that one. You don't have to remove the teven, it just falls off. Then Rashi continues and talks about the pugla case. The Gemara then talks about the pugla case, right? That's the case from Kuf Mem Aleph. That's the case of the radish. Where we said, Milamal Matashari. Right. Next Rashi says you're not moving the dirt at all. It's not a problem. If you go to the second next Rashi, mimata lamala aser. Why is it aser? If in the other case of the radish, now we already saw a Rashi on Kuf Mem Aleph that discusses this, but look at how he says it here. Why is it aser? Shem meziz afar. You are shaking meziz. You're moving the dirt. Lefisha aguma kitzara milmala v'rocha batzno milmata. Guma kitzara. Oh yeah, the divot or the opening is narrower on top. The afikav the tiltul afar min hatzad who she'eno ochso mamish biado. The afikav the tiltul afar, even though you're moving the dirt, it's min hatzad and therefore it's not a problem. That's according to Rev Tadai, Rev Elazar ben Tadai. But the way that Rashi says it here is he says it explicitly that it's tiltum and atzad. But that's how we understood that already before. This is tiltum and atzad. Why? Because tiltul afar meziz afar. In the straw case, he doesn't use the word meziz. In the straw case, he uses a different word. He uses the word nishmat v'nofel. Nishmat v'nofel. I don't know how to literally translate the word nishmat. I would say dislodges. It's like removed, like shmita. Shmita means you remove your ownership. It's removed from you.
It says in Moshe's parable that the
Zahir Mishmatu had a hand. It says the word nishmatu
there?
Oh, and Rashi says that?
Yeah.
Okay, that could be. Yeah. Oh, yeah, right, because it says go with the Zakenim, and then there are no Zakenim when they get to Paro. So Rashi explains Nishmatu. So they both sort of peeled off or left or they went away. Good. So some Achronim take this approach to understanding Rashi. Because what does it mean, number one, that it moves, meziz, and then what does it mean when it's nishmat v'nofel, it is it's dislodged.
How do you dislodge without making something move?
Good question.
Yeah.
Right. I'm trying to find where I saw this. Hold on. Yeah, so this, again, it borders on being an ukimta. I can't tell you that it for sure is. So this is from a Sefer HaHashlama. I don't even know who that is. Sorry to say. He says like this, what is the difference between mezes and nishmat v'nofel? Nishmat, he claims, this is the Sefer HaHashlama within Rashi, he claims that it's a matter of something which happens instantaneously. How instantaneous is it? If you have a better word for that, tell me. But how instantaneous is it? So when you pick up, he's claiming, and I see it a little bit, not significantly, but I can see it, that when you're picking up the dirt, so then the dirt will remain on the radish for a little bit longer. Imagine like the dirt is a little, has a little more adhesion. It sort of clumps together. Straw is very light and it's not compacted. So this is my rationalization of what the Sefer HaShlema says. He says that mezis ha'afar, when he talks about the radish, means that you're picking up the radish, and then in order to pick up the radish and only the radish, you're going to have to shake it a little bit to get that dirt off. And therefore, you've picked it up deliberately, and you've shaken it a little bit also to remove the dirt. When it comes to...
That's what shouldn't is
almost irrelevant, because we pass until Tiltum Hanatzad is okay. But it is Tiltum Hanatzad. That is called Tiltum Hanatzad. However, when it comes to the fig case, which is straw, and again, this is my rationalization of it, it's so light and airy, not compacted and adhesive, that when you pick it up, the straw is just falling off. It's sliding right off. You never really hold the straw under your own power. Take it or leave it, that's how he explains Rashi. And in the end of the day, and that's why, before I finish that thought, it's not even called Tiltum Hanatzad, according to the Sefer HaShlema. It's not even Tiltum Hanatzad because you're not even moving it directly. You're not even moving it indirectly. It's just falling off while you pick it up. It's like you're not even moving it, really. It's so instantaneous, it's as if you're not moving it. This is a sefer called Sefer HaHashlama. I have it in the back here from the Sifta Gemaras, which is a wonderful collating of a lot of different opinions. That's how you would translate it. Yeah. Hold on. And there's a footnote here. I'll just read you the footnote in the Masifta. The Av Shagam bePaga veCharara. And even though, when it comes to the fig and the bread, Muchrach lehagabia kitzas, you have to pick it up a little bit. Before you shake it off. Nira levar shekaven she'en hateven davuk al hapaga, because the straw is not adhered to, davuk like devek is glue, right? It's not stuck to the fig. Ela nishmat v'nofel miyad k'shemagbiho. Rather, it dislodges and removes itself immediately. So that's called what he calls nior. Masha'en kein bitznon. When it comes to the radish, sheyesh al gabav afar, when it has dirt, kevan sha'afar davuk al atznon. It adheres to the radish. Tzarech lahagbias atznon im ha'afar. When you pick it up, you're picking it up with the dirt. V'achar kach, and afterwards, lina'aro v'zecha shev tiltum anatzad. So a very interesting definition here. Picking up something which causes something else to move is not necessarily tiltum hanatzad. Picking up something and the other thing, and then after a couple seconds it falls off, so that's called tiltum hanatzad. But if it's just going to move without any, deliberate lifting, so that's not a problem at all. That's not even tiltum hanatzad. Yeah.
So, like, if you go back to a radish example, then instead of having damp earth, which might cling to the radish, what if you stuck the radish into
sand,
very dry sand?
Yeah, yeah.
And so then it's more like the
right. Straw, it could be.
Right?
It could be. According to this, it could very well be. If everything's dry and it's very coarse and it's not, it very could very very well could be. I wouldn't take my chances. But first of all, here, so again, here we're talking. We're learning lishma, as we call it. This, we do not paskin like this. We don't pass. We pass on it. Even if you could have the hugest, biggest clump of dirt on top of that radish, that's how we pass on. If you can grab hold of the radish and allow that dirt to fall off without touching it directly, that's called tiltum hanatzad, and it's mutter. Here we're only defining the opinion that says that it's usser. What's really usser? What's really usser is if you're actually lifting it and then shaking it off, as opposed to it falling off on its own when you lift it. Okay, that's how we explain Rashi.
Nonetheless, we're not going to recommend here in your vegetables and dirt.
I wouldn't recommend that anyways, because we have refrigeration, which does a much better job than dirt. But if you were to concoct the case, which is similar, so then maybe that would be a good...
You have a ripe fig.
Yeah.
Unripe.
It was unripe, but...
So it'll adhere. Straw would adhere.
It might. I hear you're saying the other side of what Batya is saying. She was talking about dirt, which is not really going to stick. You're talking about figs that maybe do stick. Yeah, I guess so. I guess that could be just as problematic on the flip side. Yeah, you could say it in both directions.
I just think that someone would use this, and it's not food. It's, my mother used to put silverware in the pot to kosher it.
Yeah,
you know, this was a thing. You know,
what do you mean?
In a pot that had dirt, yeah.
Oh, and
in a pot that had dirt.
Not a pot.
You know, there's a concept of dochi de sakina, sticking it in the ground, assuming that the ground has nutrients and it's putting it in a pot. I've never seen it in a pot. But yeah, we had our own silver garden at home growing up also, yeah. Now, you don't have to do that anymore. There are much better ways of goshering than that. And even that, it's like a question of how you do it, whatever. But yes, I've heard of that. But you're saying, would you be able to take those out on Shabbos? I guess. Yeah. I mean, well, we hold the tiltum and it's out as mutter, but according to this, right. I hear that. Okay, good. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Yeah, it'll be clumpy and moist and cling to it for sure. Yeah. I don't know. It's still going. I don't know how much memory is on the phone. That's so that's really just Rashi. Now I want to analyze with you a little bit. That's how Rashi explains the difference. Meaning, there are different ways I could say this. If we go back into the Gemara of Kuf Chaf Gimel, okay, we really have two opinions here. We have what we would call the Tanakhama, the first opinion. And then you have Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai. What we know about Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai, he absolutely holds Tiltum and Atzad, Lo Shmei Tiltu. That Tiltum and Atzad is mutter. That's what we'll say. Tiltum and Atzad is mutter. Indirect touching, removing, is fine. In this case, even if it's going to move the dirt, even if it's going to move the straw, it doesn't matter. We hold like Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai. The question a lot of the Rishonim deal with, and this is also Lishma, is what is the, possible Lishma, depending on how they interpret it, what is the opinion of the Tanakhama? We know absolutely Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai, doesn't matter to him if it's covered, if it's not covered, if you can puncture, right, if you remember, if you can take something like a reed or something and grab hold of that fig or grab hold of that piece of bread, you're good to go. Even if it's going to move other things around. As long as what you're moving, and there is a distinction like this, maybe we'll talk about this a different time, of tiltum and atzad ledavar mutter versus tiltum and atzad ledavar aser. You understand what that means? Tiltum and atzad davar mutter is the radish or the fig or the bread. Tiltum and atzad davar aser is moving straw. When did we move straw? That was the Mishnah on Kuf Mem Aleph. If there's straw on your bed, you're allowed to move it with your body. So why are you moving that straw? Not for the straw. You're moving that so you can sleep without the straw. So those are two very different cases. That's tiltum and atzad for the sake of a davar aser. You are indirectly moving the straw to move the straw. This is different. This is tiltum and atzad for the sake of something mutter, because you want the bread, which is mutter, right? You are moving it. Now, the thing that you're moving is also the dirt, but fine. Litzorech davar aser versus litzorech davar mutter. The other case, which is the real case that people talk about, I think there might be what to disagree with in the case of the straw on the bed. But the point is that the real case of tiltum and atzad l'tzarach davar aser is the corpse in the beds, because that you're doing it so you can move the deceased to a proper place. So that you're doing that for the sake of the aser thing, as opposed to here where you're doing it for the sake of the mutter thing. Okay, we're not getting into that right now. So we know Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai. Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai says, as long as you're moving the mutter thing, doesn't matter what else is in your way, that's indirect, and it's mutter. All right, tiltum and atzad, lo shmei tiltu. However, What's the Tana Kama's opinion? Anyone remember the Tana Kama's opinion? We said it a few, 20 minutes ago. The Tana Kama says, if some of it is exposed, so then mutter, you can take it. But im lav aser, if it's not exposed, then it's aser. Tell me, what does the Tana Kama believe about tiltul min hatzad? What is his opinion? What is the Tana Kama's opinion? The Gemara, the ensuing Gemara, talks about Rav Elazar ben Tadai and says Rav Nachman passes Rav Elazar ben Tadai. Wait a second, Rav Nachman, weren't you the one that said it was aser? Fine, we went into the whole thing. And we said Rav Nachman changed his mind, and it's machlokas, which one did he change his mind? We never talked about the Tana Kama. The Tana Kama's opinion is, if it's exposed a little bit, you can pick it up. If it's not exposed at all, you can't pick it up. So we just explained it with Rashi. And this may be the impetus for why Rashi says this. Because what is that distinction? What is that? Why would it make a difference? You're moving the straw either way. Whether it's exposed or it's not exposed, you're moving the straw. So what was Rashi's answer? Rashi's answer was that even though it's somewhat covered, because it's exposed and you're picking it up, the straw is going to, as we just said from the Sefer HaShlamah, it's going to fall off so easily that it's like you're not even moving it. Okay? And that's why Rashi felt the need to say it that way, because the words of the Gemara are Megula Miktsas. It's a little exposed. It's not fully exposed like the radish. Which, by the way, that's how the Baal HaMor explains it, right? The Baal HaMor explains, why is the Tana Kama okay with it? Oh, because it's like the radish case. You're not even moving it at all. It's not even tiltul min hatzad at all, because it's the straw is not on top of the fig at all. That's how the Baal HaMor said. Rashi went a different direction, presumably because of the words Megula Miktsasa. Miktsasa means only a little bit, which means that it's a little bit covered.
Yeah. Exposed at all. I mean, how much more are you actually moving in that case?
How much more? You mean for Rashi?
Yeah.
Presumably, when you're, I'm gonna use a little bit of physics terminology here. There are two axes that we're talking about. I guess I don't have to use axes. I was gonna say y-axis, x-axis. We can just talk about horizontal and vertical. Yeah. When you move. According to Rashi, when you move that straw, according to the Tana Kama, it's completely mutter, according to Rashi, you're mostly moving it horizontally.
Right.
It's sliding to the side. When you're moving it, okay, this is within the Sefer HaShlamah's explanation, when you're moving it, when it's completely covered, you're really moving it vertically. In which case, your power, I'm just going to use rationalizations here, your power is literally picking it up a little bit. You're not really picking it up when it's sliding to the side. Your movement is upwards to pick up the fig out of the ground. So if it slides to the side, that's an x-axis movement. You're only affecting it in the y. Now, obviously, it's at an angle, and maybe you really are moving it. So that's how I would explain according to Rashi. But let's say not like Rashi and not like the Baal HaMor. How else can we explain a partial? So according to both Rashi and the Baal HaMor, they take basically the avenue of saying the Tana Kama's situation is not even tiltul min hatzad in the first place. When it's exposed a little bit, it's not even tiltul min hatzad. Right? That's how we just distinguish between Rashi 1 and Rashi 2. It's not even tiltul min hatzad. That's how the Baal HaMor also said. The straw's on the side. It's not really on top of it. It's not even tiltul min hatzad. That was their approach. And when the straw's on top of it, then it is tiltul min hatzad, right? That's how they're going about it. And that's why the Tana Kama distinguishes. According to Rashi in the Baal HaMor, therefore the Tana Kama holds that tiltul min hatzad is aser. Which is, at least the way that we've been understanding the Gemara, that's the pshat. That's the pshat of the Gemara. Because then we bring Rabbi Elazar ben Tadai, and then we talk Rav Nachman, which essentially we curtail into a discussion about tiltul min hatzad, shmei tiltul or lo shmei tiltul, which implies that the first opinion is that it's shmei tiltul, that it's us. However, there's another explanation, there's another way of explaining it, which is that even the first opinion, even the Tana Kama holds, and this might be also implicit with the fact that we don't even talk about the Tana Kama, that the Tana Kama also holds. The first opinion also holds that tiltul min hatzad lo shmei tiltul, that the tiltul min hatzad is mutter, just like Rebbe Elazar ben Tadai. But maybe there's a distinction between the two opinions. that Rabbi Elazar ben Taddai is not just telling us, oh, by the way, I hold Tiltum and Atzad as mutter. But he's also giving us a further chiddush. Okay, stay with me here. The Tanna Kamma makes a distinction which will overpower, which will outduel Tiltum and Atzad mutter. When it comes to the exposed radish or the exposed fig, so then Tiltum and Atzad is still good. It's exposed. You can grab it. It's just like the radish case. Tiltum and Atzad is mutter, which we saw already by the Gemara Kufman Malach, that that's completely okay. From Bei Rav, from the house of Rav, quoting that Mishnah on the Mishnah about the bed and the straw. Tiltum and Atzad, lo shmei tiltum, it's mutter. That, according to this opinion, I think the Ritva says this, even the Tanna Kamma agrees with that. The Tanna Kamma. Why then? Then we have to figure out the other side. Why then does the Tanna Kamma believe that when it is fully covered, would it be usser? Rabbi Elazar ben Taddai is comfortable saying that that's also tiltum and atzad, and it's mutter. So why is that the Tanna Kamma has a problem with it? Right, according to Rashi and the Baal Mor, it's because tiltum and atzad is usser, according to Tanna Kamma. But according to the Ritva, tiltum and atzad is mutter. So tiltum and atzad is mutter. So what's the problem with the covered straw? Ah, what do you say? Say it again. I want to hear how you said it, not what you said.
You have to move more for it.
What do you mean you have to move more?
I mean,
you have to move the straw.
More, you have to move more of the dirt on the straw.
You have to go through the straw to get to the fig. And that is not indirect. That you are directly moving the straw. And if you remember last week when we talked about Rabbi Elazar ben Taddai, we said, I don't know how this is possible, but you stick a skewer through the straw and you pick up the bread, you pick up the fig, and then you just pull it out. Our problem with that is, well, aren't you moving the straw when you put the skewer in? Now, you could say that that's a tiltum and atzad too, that you're not touching it, the skewer is touching it. It's tough because the skewer is basically an extension of your hand. You could make the claim, however, that it is minimal movement. It's minimal. You're not like going like this, right? You're just poking right through it. Is it going to move some of the straw? Yeah, minimally. Not really. So that's one way you can understand Rabbi Elazar ben Taddai. From the Tanna Kamma's perspective, he says, yeah, I also hold tiltum and atzad is mutter, is lo shmei tiltum. That's not really moving. However, if the thing is fully covered, that's where I draw the line. You can't puncture through something which is mutter like that. Why is this important? Because we paskin tiltum and atzad lo shmei tiltum. But when? When do we paskin tiltum and atzad? Do we paskin even like Rabbi Elazar ben Taddai? That if it's fully covered, we can puncture right through it? Or do we paskin like the Tanna Kamma? Which is presumably the mainstream opinion, since Rabbi Elazar ben Taddai is a single person, a minority opinion. Maybe we paskin like the Tanna Kamma, that if something is fully covered, you can't get through it to accomplish tiltum and atzad. We're not going to be that lenient. That's one way of understanding. Bless you. That's one way of understanding it, because you got to move the straw directly. There's another way of understanding it. And this comes back to our beloved cases of Basis Ledavar Aser. Also relevant to the case of the bed with the pillow on top of the straw. But we're not going to get there right now. We'll talk about a similar idea that applies to that too. When the straw is a little uncovered, when the fig is a little uncovered, the straw's on the side, what can you assume? You can assume that you want that fig, right? You left it a little uncovered so you can come get it. And therefore, when you put that straw on top of it, it was with the intention of removing that fig. That's why you left it a little uncovered. So you know where it is, so you can grab it. And therefore, It's not a problem of buses at all, because it wasn't left there on purpose for the sake of all of Shabbos. In fact, you deliberately put it there so you could pick it up on Shabbos. So it never becomes a basis. But if it's totally covered, you just stuck that thing in there and just left it there. You didn't do anything to prepare to designate this as something you want to take on Shabbos. And therefore, the straw on top of it makes the fig underneath it into a basis davar aser. And therefore, it's aser. So in that case, the Tanna Kamma, in terms of that interpretation, which is beautiful, the Tanna Kamma is not telling us a rule about tiltum and atzad at all. Right? According to what we just said, the problem is you're going through the straw. That's not tiltum and atzad. That's direct tiltum. According to this, no, it's not about tiltul. This is because the fig is usser. The fig is a basis to davar usser. And that's why you can't pick up the fig. Even if you could meander around, find your way to get the skewer right between it and not move any straw. Even if that was the case, you still can't use that fig, according to this interpretation. Because it's a basis to davar usser. And you can't move a basis to davar usser. It's muktzah. So now we've got two ways of understanding, according to Rashi and the Baal Mor, that maybe the reason why this is okay when it's exposed is because the Tana Kama holds tiltum and atzat is usser, but in this case, it's not even tiltum and atzat. That's one way of looking at it. And then we have another way of looking at it, which is, no, even the Tana Kama holds tiltum and atzat is mutter. You're allowed to do that. But there's a different reason why, when it's fully covered, it's usser. Maybe because you'd be going through the straw, and that's not tiltum and atzat, that's direct tiltul. Or because it's busted davar usser. And that's why it's a problem. So we really have, according to Rashi and the Baal Mor, the Tana Kama does nothing for us because we pass until someone outside its mutter. So yeah, we can make distinctions today to tomorrow about does the straw fall off? Did you pick it up? We can make those decisions, but then halach lamai, so we don't really need that. But according to these two opinions, I'd have to look. I think it's the Ritva and someone else that the Tana Kama also holds until someone outside its mutter. So then we have what to discuss in terms of whether we pass them like that, halach l'maisa. Mirat Hashem, next week there are some other cases. Maybe we'll introduce the case of the dead body, because it's going to be very important, as gruesome as it sounds, it's going to be important to understanding when it is and when it isn't okay to use tiltum and atzat. Okay. Shkach.